Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You know, Jesus said, where there are two or three gathered together, he will be among us. And we have more than three here. So, presence of Christ is here with us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I greet you all, each and every one of you, and pray that we will receive God's visit through His Holy Spirit this morning, that He'll come and speak to you, speak to your heart, speak to your mind, touch your heart, and fill you with the joy of living. And I just noticed that Austin has come to join us all the way from Missouri as well. So welcome. And I greet you all those of you who have come to join us via Zoom. What I'm about to share may not be a joke, but a true story. And some of you may have heard of it before. Adolf Hitler was very much disturbed when a psychic let it be known that she could predict the exact day of his death. Since the prediction were always based on astrology, and since Hitler himself was a believer in the stars, he sent for the woman. After much divination, the woman finally said that the omens indicated no specific date for the passing of the Nazi leader, other than that it would definitely take place on a Jewish holiday. "Which holiday?" Hitler demanded. "I cannot be sure," said the astrologist. "You've got to be sure," Hitler ordered, going up into one of his extreme shrieks. "I demand that you be sure." "What difference does it make?" shrugged the woman. "Any day on which you will die will be a Jewish holiday." Do you know today is the day of celebration for Jews? You know that? It is not their religious or civic holiday. Can you guess the kind of celebration they have today? What day is it today? April 30th, right? It is the anniversary of Hitler committing suicide in 1945. So it is the celebration for the Jewish people. A concept of the predetermined day of passing is found in the Bible. For example, King Belshazzar of Babylon threw a royal banquet and invited his dignitaries. He brought in goblets of precious metals that his father Nebuchadnezzar plundered from the temple in Jerusalem and drank wine with them. Suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall. The king watched the hand as it wrote, "Mene, Mene, Tegel, Parsin." His face turned pale and he was so frightened. He did not know what the writing meant, nor did his wise men. So Daniel was brought before the king to interpret the writing. Daniel said that "Mene" meant "God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end." That very night, Belshazzar, king of Babylon, was slain. In the book of Job, 14:5, Job said, "A person's days are determined. You have decreased the number of his month and have set limits he cannot exceed." In Psalm 39, David said, "Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is." The sovereign God has full control over the life of individuals and nations. He runs everything on his watch and sets up durations and days. Certain durations show God's unique characteristics, His perfection, His principle of the Sabbath, and His ways of operations. God created the universe in 7 days and made the entire year run on a 7-day cycle, which is the Sabbath cycle. God runs the whole universe on God's Sabbath cycle. Jeremiah prophesied that Babylonian exiles would last 70 years. And the history proves that upon the completion of 70 years of the exile exactly, Cyrus, the king of Persia, allowed the exile to return to Israel. Now, 3 days has a special meaning related to God's watch on Jesus' life. Let us look at what it means. We are very familiar with the story of Jonah. God told him to go to Nineveh and preach the message of repentance to the heathens in old Babylon. He did not like that idea and went on board a ship to go to Tarshish. The ship soon faced a violent storm. The sailors wanted to find out who caused that calamity. When they cast lots, it fell on Jonah. They threw Jonah overboard. A giant fish swallowed him and vomited him onto dry land after 3 days. Some may regard the story as a fairy tale, but Jesus acknowledged Jonah and his story. There are many stories of modern-day Jonah who was swallowed by a whale and survived. One of the more reliable stories was reported by Newsweek in June 22. A 56-year-old commercial lobster diver, Michael Packard, was swallowed by a humpback whale and was inside his mouth for about a minute until it spit him out. Even though Packard was not inside the whale for as long as 3 days, he almost died and was given a second chance to live like Jonah. Hosea chapter 6 is a prophecy of the resurrection of the Messiah in 3 days. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but He will heal us. He has injured us, but He will bind up our wound. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the third day, He will restore us, that we may live in His presence. Jesus held the same position of the biblical prophecy on His resurrection. In Luke 24, Jesus appeared to His disciples after Easter and opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." The Apostle Paul agreed with Jesus as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the chapter of resurrection. In it, the Apostle Paul logically proved the resurrection of the Lord. And in verse 4 of that same chapter, Paul said, "Jesus was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." Both Jesus and Paul agreed that the resurrection on the third day was prophesied in the Old Testament, and it did happen on the third day, according to the scriptures. Throughout the gospel, whenever Jesus spoke of His death, He mentioned His resurrection in 3 days. Let me give you some more examples of it. Firstly, Jesus said this in Matthew 12. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. Isn't that interesting? This is a King James Version. In King James Version, that big giant fish was whale. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus compared Himself to the temple and said this while in Jerusalem temple. John 2, Jesus said, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. People responded, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple he had spoken of was his body. Building a new temple in 3 days meant the resurrection on the third day. Jesus said this in Luke 9. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. And Jesus said this of his death and resurrection, and most of the time he mentioned those two big events at the same time. And you can find these references of Jesus' word more than 20 times in the Gospels. According to the prophecy, he was born in the Roman period and was crucified. According to the scripture, he rose from the dead on the third day. So this three-day means, okay, every part of Jesus' life was run on God's watch very accurately. God runs the whole universe on his watch, and God shows the very fact through the life of Jesus. Now, look at the movement of the devout women from the day of Passover and see the kind of watch they followed. Jesus was crucified on the day of Passover and fulfilled the prophecy of the Messiah to become the sacrificial Lamb of God. Jesus died at the ninth hour, which is about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Joseph Arimathea went to Pilate and asked permission to bury Jesus' body. After the burial, it was evening, and that's when the Sabbath began. After spending the whole day around the Calvary, the women had to return home as the Sabbath began in the evening. And of course, the following day was Sabbath, and they had to stay home all day and had to wait until the dawn of the first day of the week when they were allowed to go outside freely and was able to go to the tomb. The women's movement was bound by the watch of their religion. Jewish tradition says that when a person dies, his soul stays within his body for 3 days and then departs. Did the watch of their religion correspond to God's watch? It did not. What did they expect on Easter morning? Their watch said that Jesus' spirit left, and the only thing left was his body to corrupt. So they went to the tomb to embalm the corpse, to grieve, and nothing else. Even after they heard Jesus' word on his resurrection over and over. Like I said, there were more than 20 times Jesus mentioned of his crucifixion and the resurrection on the third day. Everything in the universe, including our life, runs on God's watch. But we are like the women, not watchful of God's watch. A common sight in America's Southwest desert is the century plant. I don't know whether you have seen it. I haven't seen it yet. It is unique. The century plant thrives in rocky, mountainous desert sites. It has dramatic splayed leaves that grow up to a foot wide, the plant can reach 12 feet in diameter. But what makes the century plant unusual, as its name suggests, is its long production cycle. For 20 or 30 years, not a literal 100 years, the 6 foot tall plant stands the same height and puts out no flowers. Then 1 year, without warning, a new bird sprouts. The bird, which resembled a tree trunk size asparagus spear, shoots into the sky at a fantastic rate of 7 inches per day and reaches an eventual height of 20 to 40 feet. Then it crowns itself with several clumps of yellowish blossoms that last up to 3 weeks. The blossoming cycle of the century plant runs on God's watch of nature. I mean, they would look at the plant and it stays the same length for all this time, for 20 or 30 years, and all of a sudden it blossoms. Because it runs on God's watch of nature. How about our life? God's watch runs our life as well. The problem is, we look at our human watch and act accordingly. Our watch may say that it is dark and hope is lost, but on God's watch, Christ lives and hope is alive. The women of faith were sorrowful from the day of crucifixion through the evening of the preparation day and Sabbath until Easter morning. If they trusted in the word of Jesus on his resurrection, they could have entered into Sabbath rest instead. The time of frustration on our watch is the time to rest on God's watch. As the women hurried to the tomb early in the morning, we often try things in a hurry and ended up not accomplishing much. Why? Because we follow our watch. God's timing is always perfect, for he knows what is best. So what time is it now? It's God's time. And you can ask yourself every time, wherever you are in your life, you know, even in darkness, what time is it? It's God's time. May we operate on God's watch. Rest and wait upon him. Amen.